possibly, again, I don't want to go nuts. It's so early. It was 2 days in. But something struck me very favorably about Aaron Glenn already. I'll do that a little bit from now. As always, the B-Teen Sal Show brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets, who are playing the Giants, but will have an eye on the Phillies and the Yankees. And apparently some people that love the Mets will be rooting for the Phillies. Nick is in Northport. BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Nick?
What's up, BT?
Hey.
So just a premise, anybody who's rooting for the Phillies is not a Mets fan, number one. Number two, just to clarify Lugie's statements yesterday, he was saying that he was going to root against the Phillies, but he wouldn't root for the Yankees.
Root against?
They were trying to get him to say, Yankees.
Okay.
And he wouldn't do it. So.
All right,
so save his butt a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, there's a little in between there, but how do you do that? Say both of those things again.
He said he was going to root against the Phillies,
yeah.
But he's not going to root for the Yankees.
Well, I have news for Lugie. It's not going to be 3-0-0 games. So one of those two emotions is going to have to win out a little bit. No.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I hear you.
I got you, buddy. Thanks for the call. A little clarification. I like Lugie. I don't know. Maybe you heard something different.
Listen, here's the way to solve this whole problem, BT. And you've done it before. You did this with Evan and Jet. Mm. Just offer Tommy some money to say that I want the Yankees to win.
I think Tommy's different. No. First of all, I mean, how much money do you think I got here?
Oh, right. Well,
I mean, number one. I mean,
okay, offer the company's money. Have the company pay for it.
Yeah. There you go. Little Jet is young, impressionable, and I didn't mean to manipulate the young boy's emotions there, but, he's got some wrestling games that he wants, and the $105, I think it was, wound up, going a long way from. I don't think you could buy. I'm not going to try to buy Lugie, but if you tried, I don't think you can.
I think when it comes to money, Tommy will do it. I'm not going to offer it because I don't have any,
yeah.
But I would suggest you trying it and see if that works.
Well, who said that he's kind of tight with the buck? Evan said that.
And I have too.
Oh, you've been out with him. I've never been out with him.
I don't think Tommy has ever bought me around, ever.
Well, why would he? Do you buy him around?
Yes.
Oh, so he doesn't reciprocate?
Yes.
Hell out of here.
When we've gone out in the past,
there's no way.
When we all have gone out, I know for a fact that there's been times where I'm very easy with that because probably I'm sauced up. So, of course, I'm like, hey, I'm going to
take the car.
Shot for everybody. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall. Tommy will definitely take the drink. I don't believe he will ever fork it over and say, yeah, round's on me, guys.
When you get into the generalizations and the stereotypes, it could be a slippery slope. I've heard people say that about him, but I've never been out with him, so I haven't seen it. But forget about Tommy for a sec. Like, to me, not reaching into the pocket as a man for a drink, just can't have it.
Oh, I know.
Can't have it.
Dude, every time we go to a game, what's the first thing you do? Hey, you want a drink? I'll get you a drink.
What do you need? Yeah. I got
exactly.
First round. What do you got? What do you guys need?
Exactly.
Yeah.
100% every time.
Yeah, and even, like, I'm even, I'm not made of money, but I'm even uncomfortable. Like, I don't even like, I'd never do this, but I only had the salad and I had the appetizer. Four guys, split it four ways, or if you're best friends and everybody has a few bucks, I'll pick up this meal, you get the next one. Imagine splitting bills. I don't mean splitting bills just because you're going to split bills, but like nitpicking, hey, I didn't have this. Why am I getting hosed for an extra $9?
I'm glad you brought that up. It's funny because nowadays when we all go out with families, after like a baseball game or whatever it is, and don't get me wrong, I love the teammates and whatnot, I love the families and stuff like that, but you just have to understand when you're going out with everybody, everybody is splitting the bill down the line. Doesn't make a difference if you have one kid and somebody else has seven.
I don't want to hear it.
Everyone's splitting the bill.
I don't have the time. I don't have the patience. I don't have the math skills. What's the bill? 10 of us, it's $500. All right, 500, 10 ways. Next.
Exactly.
I'm totally with you.
Dove agrees with that too, actually, said.
And Dove doesn't even go out to dinner. When was the last time you honestly went out to dinner?
Well, I can't now because of my diet. I'm eating healthy. Yeah. But I will say this. Think about the big picture.
Yes.
You have a family. One sibling has one child. One sibling has seven children.
This guy.
Oh, just think about it.
I'm listening.
Okay. You have one child. You know, if you get together with your brother or sister, you're paying for their kids.
Uh-huh.
Now the brother calls and says, you want to go out? I'm like, no.
No, because you're cheap. That's why. But
again, if you want to make sure you get together and you think ahead of time, you say, look, this is the equitable thing to do.
I mean, though, if I did give it a little bit too much thought. I mean, when my wife says, hey, we have dinner with so-and-so and we're going here or, you know, because she usually makes those plans and she knows who I want to go out to dinner with and who I don't. Not that there's not many people that I don't, but you have a base of friends.
Oh, no, there's some people that we don't want to go out to dinner with.
That's why you don't go out with them. The last thing I'm thinking about is how many kids they have because I might get hit. I mean, come on.
I understand, but if you know there's somebody you're an acquaintance with who you
are. Yeah, I'm going out to dinner with the Brady Bunch, Dove. How many people do you know have 8 kids and you have one?
Well, I'm using Pete's example.
But that's just a stretch of the bat, just to prove a point.
But if you knew that a friend of yours doesn't pay the bill,
look how pissed
soon do you go
he is
out
about
with
this.
I know.
You're so upset, though.
The way he thinks about this. No, just finish your thought, though. If I knew that a friend of mine who doesn't pay the bill,
soon are you going to go out with him?
Well, I'm probably not good friends with him because I can't be good friends with cheap people.
I understand that, but I'm saying...
I actually loathe cheap people.
But if there was
especially
somebody...
cheap, wealthy people. That's the worst.
That's why Dove, BT doesn't go out to dinner with you.
Oh, I'm not
Dolphin. I mean, Dolphin. Yeah, God. All right. Hey, we need everybody's perspective, including his, right? We make the circle round. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. Let me get D-Rod down in Orlando, Florida. He's got us up on the Free Odyssey app. D-Rod, what is a cooking?
BT, what's up, buddy? How you feeling?
I'm good.
I know. Long week, man. You've been here by yourself, man. Your morning soliloquies have been fantastic.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, yeah. Man. Good stuff. Listen, I agree with 95% of what you say. Today, your morning soliloquy, as you put it, was a little, I don't know if I would, you know, your Grisham, your plan and putting, you know, like, look at on Wednesday, you had the worst, I mean, defense was terrible for the Yankees. So your plan is to trade your best defensive outfielder, maybe your best defensive player outside of Bellinger, maybe, and then put a rookie left fielder that's terrible in left field, put him in center field, and then bring up another rookie that's never played in the majors into the middle of a pennant race and put him in left field.
Pretty much. You nailed it. that's the plan.
Well, the thing is that, here's my solution.
Go ahead, bud.
If I could, please.
Sure.
I'd send, for three reasons, I'd send Dominguez down and swap him with Jones and keep Grisham. You know, he's cheap. You know, he's good. He's good in the clubhouse. He's good, you know, all that good stuff from him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much would you get back. I'd send Dominguez down for three reasons. One, to get his mind right, as they said, like in Cool Hand Luke, I think they said that. And then to send a message to all the other team, to all the other players, especially all the rookies. Yeah, because look, we're all talking about, let the kids play for the last 3 years, even before Volpe came up. Let the kids play. Look, Ben Rice, Vorvitz, you know, Peraza, Volpe, Dominguez.
I know.
Look at all these guys. So the fans got what they wanted, and now they don't like it.
All right, but D-Rod, hold on. I got to fling this back to you here. So,
all right.
I'm not gonna fight anybody over sending Dominguez down. I mean, they're not going to. But if they did, I wouldn't really protest it vehemently. But what I would say, like, how unfair if you're about sending a message. Of accountability, which has been one of my themes this week for the Yankees, a lack thereof. You send down Dominguez, but you don't send down Volpe? What kind of message is that?
I'm with you. Well, the thing is that, here's the thing, is that the Yankees did this. This is not on Volpe per se, because, like, look, Susan Wolman the other day said, you know, if they send him Volpe down, who do they have?
Yeah, I know.
And that's on the Yankees, because they had Trey Sweeney, they had chances to sign free agents, they could have traded somebody, but they put all their chips on Volpe.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's unfair to Dominguez in a way, you know?
I agree.
You know, now,
he's playing better than Volpe.
Too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, what we're saying is it's a little busted here, D-Rod. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's the consensus.
And I appreciate it.
You know?
Can I tell you one thing before I go? Something a little separate.
About
just since you're such a multisyllabic guy, and I appreciate your vocabulary, I think, like Angel said a few minutes ago, is that I got a word for you. That means, and this word is a person that likes to use these multisyllabic words. And are you ready for this one?
Sure.
It's that person is known as a sesquipedalian.
Did not know that.
Yeah. And don't ask me because it's crazy.
So are you calling me that? Because it could also be a crazy diss that I have no idea what that word means.
No, it's fantastic.
That's a good one.
The thing is that when you're using that word, you are also being that word.
Gotcha. So, not understood. Say it again.
Sesquipedalian.
Sesquipedalian. Six syllables. Oof.
Yeah, right. I know.
Tough nice one. Job, buddy. Strong.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Is that
Sesquipedalian.
Spanish?
Huh?
Is that Spanish?
Sounds a little Spanish.
Doesn't sound like something I would say.
Well, when we get past two syllables, the Hoff's got to start, those two brain cells start fighting each other. Sesquipedalian. Yeah, that's good. I like that one. Let me get Moose in Somerset County. That's New Jersey, Somerset. Moose man, what's happening, Moose?
Yo, I got to defend my guy Loogie real quick.
I didn't say anything about Loogie. I'm defending him a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's getting misquoted. So he said, This is like verbatim. He said, I'm rooting for the team that is opposing the Phillies. But yeah, he refused to say, go Yankees. I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so he's playing the semantical game here. But now here's where I'm confused, Moose, because now... And again, I've defended him lightly. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. You're rooting for the Phillies. I mean, rooting for the Yankees to absolutely broom the Phillies and smack them. To me, that's a no-brainer. But I think the real issue is with my team here. It seems like I was fed some erroneous information by you guys. Yeah, you.
No.
Dove
was the one who came out and started barking about it.
Well,
and
Dove
was like, yeah.
No, Dove did the start, and then
and I saw the quote.
Yeah, but you know how these quotes, the way they get manipulated here.
Well, there you go. That's
I didn't hear
the
whole show. I did hear part of the show, and I heard Loogie say that it doesn't... You're not thinking about the fact that there could be a game behind later in the season. He can't root for the Yankees. That's the bottom line. Now, later in the show, he may have backtracked, and that's what they're hearing. I know what I heard.
Wait, so he can't root for the Yankees. All right, I understand the premise. But which one weighs out, your disdain for the Yankees or your disdain
Correct.
For the Phillies? To me, it's the
Correct.
Roadmap to the NL East. You're rooting for the Yankees.
But he's not rooting for the Yankees. He said he's not rooting for the Yankees. He's rooting for the Phillies to lose, but he can't root for the Yankees.
All right, so he left himself an out.
Yeah,
smartly.
I mean,
he's off the hook. He wiggled off. I
would say he pulled the BT.
What?
Remember the time when you had that jersey bet that you lost a long time ago? With the Giants?
I do.
Was it Joe Namath? I can't remember what it was. So whatever the reason was, you were supposed to wear a Giant jersey.
No, okay, we got to get it. I do, but we have to get the details right.
Yes.
No, it was not with Joe Namath and Rodgers. It was when we had Namath on and he said that Rodgers.
No, it wasn't that.
It was the I was trying to get Tiki to wear a Giants jersey. His Giants jersey in. Before the playoff game against the Vikings, when Daniel Jones played great.
Yes.
And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to. I'm like, I'll wear the freaking jersey, and I'm not even a Giants guy.
Right.
I didn't think anybody would hold me to it. And
it's not like you said it on the radio for everyone to listen and hear.
I know. And people held me to it. And then, remember, we had Brandon Jacobs in studio.
Right, so you had to do it.
He was busting my chops.
And you came in, and you... thought you were outsmarting everybody by having the jersey on, but putting another jersey on top or another sweatshirt on top
Correct.
Of it, so we couldn't see it.
Correct.
That doesn't count. That's an out. It's
semantical move.
That is going to be called a BT from now on. So Loogie pulled the BT. He pulled the fast one. Doesn't work though. Doesn't work.
See, but it did work because I did it. I didn't get fined. I didn't get fired. Spike probably wasn't thrilled.
Actually, that was the one time I ever saw Spike get really pissed. He's like, he just ruined the bit.
He was pissed. Him and his bits. He was pissed. I remember he was pissed.
He's a big guy. He still is a big guy.
I know he is. But I thought that was actually very well done. I'm like, all right, because I'm remaining true to my Jet loyalties and never wearing jerseys of other teams, but I also did say it like an idiot big mouth, and I'm not gonna backtrack on that. So I did both.
Just imagine,
it was brilliant.
Just imagine this. Just imagine Dove did that. How pissed you'd be, and how much you'd kill him and crush him on air and say he killed a bit.
Yeah.
You pulled the Dove.
See, the thing is, though, I'm so used to him crushing bits, I probably wouldn't react with the venom that Spike did when I crushed the bit.
But I want to promise something not come through.
Ooh, little jab back. Dove, feisty. Dove has awakened.
It's a Friday. He can't wait to go home.
Yeah. What time you busted out? I leave right after the show, too. What time you out here? 2:01 today?
Well, it's Erev Shabbos. We got to get ready for the Sabbath.
What's the difference between Wednesday and Friday for you? You always leave.
No.
Let
me tell you something. I'll give Doe credit. He stays every other day.
I know,
but Friday's the one day that you get beat by somebody else walking out the door faster than you, and that's Dolph.
No, listen, that's religious stuff. Totally get that. No, I'm just messing with you, Dolph. I'm just messing totally. No, I mean, for me, I mean, the show's over. You know, I give the pounds. See ya. I'm ready to do the show the next day. Let me get Jason in Brooklyn. Jay, what's going on?
BT, what's up, man? Great show today. I asked this to Sal when you were off, so just to be fair, give you a shot.
Okay.
When Tony's mom dies and they have the service, Silvio is annoyed that he has to miss a specific event because of the wake. What is the specific event?
Mm. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. Hold on, let me try if I could piece it together. I remember that he was annoyed. I can actually see his facial expression. God, was it something at the Bing or was it something with the sporting event? What was it?
It was a sporting event, yes.
Was it a Jets game?
It was the Jets home opener, specifically, yes.
Wow. All right, I didn't really nail it.
Sal
but I
got
kinda,
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sal got it.
Sal got it?
One,
okay.
One for him.
All
yeah.
right. And, now, but hold on. So Sal got it, but Sal also just recently rewatched the entire Surprise. So I've kind of jumped into a few seasons here and there because I just loved it. I can't get enough. Like, When you're on Facebook, it depends, you know, your search history, whatever. I get bombarded with Soprano shorts, and I don't even want to waste a lot of time on Facebook, and I really don't post a lot, but I get sucked into these shorts. I can't get enough. I just cannot get it. And my favorite scenes from The Sopranos involve either Tony and Chris or anything in the bowels of the Bing, where they're meeting and they're pouring scotch and they're shooting pool and they're, you know, the whole crew is there, the captains, like those to me. But I did not remember that off the top of my head, so you got me a little bit.
It is amazing. I was thinking when you were talking about like splitting the check and all that, I just thought about Tony. You eat, I pay.
Yeah. Yes, you know, yes, with Meadows' boyfriend.
With Meadows'
and also the time when they were down in AC and Chrissy got stuck with the $1,100 bill and him and Paulie Walnuts almost killed each other in the parking lot.
Right, yeah, exactly. A tremendous show.
Yeah, thank you.
But also, BT, you mentioned it quickly. I went to whatever they call it now, the Giants Park in San Fran. I couldn't agree more. It's the best in the league.
That's beautiful.
And
too bad the city's falling apart, but the ballpark's gorgeous.
The city's rough, but you can walk to it if you stay downtown.
Yep.
I bought a cheap ticket, bounced around. Just tremendous. You can see the bridge, not the Golden Gate, but the other one.
The Bay Bridge.
Yeah. So what a spot. Mm-hmm. It's really great. But my question for you is, and I know I've been hammering this all day, is I want a real bat as well for the Mets because I agree with you, the offense after the top three guys, it just evaporates, and I don't trust it. But, like, if they can't get somebody who's really going to move the needle, which it doesn't seem like there are a lot of names out there, does it make sense for them just to make a bunch of smaller moves? Because they have – I'm just thinking BT for the future.
Yep.
And I don't want to hoard prospects like the Yankees do, but, you know, is this the year to go all in because the market dictates it and the team is ready? Which I don't know if they are. Thanks, BT.
It's a great question. It really is a great question. I think going all in is different. I think the way I view that now is a little different because, you know, there was a point where, in any sport, but baseball's become so unpredictable. It really has. The extra wild cards, whatever, where, you know, you could go all in and you could lose the wild card and you're done. Like, you know, like the Knicks go all in, the Celtics go all in, Cavaliers go all in, even though the Cavaliers got bumped early, not a good example, but... You know, like the Warriors get Durant, they go all in. They not only are they going to win the championship, they're certainly not losing in the first round. It's more of a certainty in the NBA. Same with football, there's no guarantees. And baseball, I kind of hesitate to say go all in, but I think we all know like what it means. Just be aggressive. Whatever other term you want to use, go all in. You know, sell out, whatever term Cashman used a couple of weeks back that basically portrayed the Yankees as getting ready to go nuts, just go for it. Because you don't know how many times you're back in the situation. You know, the Mets were in a situation a year ago, they almost didn't make the playoffs, and then they almost got to the World Series. So, to me, you know, and Lindor's not a kid, and Nimmo's not a kid, and Manaea's not a kid, and P. Pete might not be back next year. Just go for it. Triple, absolutely go for it. All right, BT and Sal back on the fan here. It's 11:27. 888-808-1019. Get back to these calls in a sec here. So I don't know. I almost pause and almost hesitate. And I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but it did strike me. And I heard Boomer talking about this with Phil, right? And I'm like, okay, might be onto something here. Think about what we always talk about with the Jets. All right, it's yes, it's about like failed quarterbacks and some people say cursed, and but like if you really boil it down, what's wrong with the Jets? The Jets culture is horrendous. It's been horrendous. Their culture is horrendous. They let Aaron Rodgers run roughshod and do it. And I'm a Rodgers guy to an extent, but ridiculous. The coaches have no backbones. You know, it's just a complete mess. So yesterday, start the show at about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so before I start the show, I see the alert pop up on my phone. I'll tune over to the Free Odyssey app right now. Instant reaction, live reaction, Boomer and Geo. Justin Fields carted off the field. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. I'm sitting here sipping coffee, getting my notes together, and I see right out of the corner of my right eye where I keep my, and if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see where my phone is. It's right here. I see the little blink pop up. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then, you know, we got some good news, right, which is awesome. Here you go. And it's not, it's too easy to say, well, you know, the Jets got good news. If this was the old Jets, it would have been a ruptured Achilles, or he would have broken every toe and he would have been out for the season. No, I can't, like, that's just too hokey for me. I can't latch on to the fact that it's not nearly as serious as we thought as a reason to tell you that I think that the culture is in the early stages of being, you know, flipped. Although I love the hire and I love the presentation from Glenn so far, starting with his opening press conference, I have no doubts that eventually he's going to change the culture. Now, what I will say is the way he handled the injury, not even what he said after it. So this morning, Jets go out on the practice field. What is it, day three now, right? And Justin Fields, who we were told, you know, a couple of days off, whatever, day to day, is in full uniform, helmet, pads, cleats, jogs out with the team, jogs out to his positional stuff, whatever, and then he's held out. Now, that might seem like a very little teeny tiny thing, but if Aaron Rodgers dislocated a toe yesterday, you think that Robert Saleh is going to have him run out there in full uniform with cleats? If that happened to Zach Wilson back in the day, or Sam Darnold, or anybody else, you think they're on the field in uniform, cleated up with a dislocate? Like, that's the thing. Not sneakers, not flip-flops or sandals. Cleated up, dislocated toe. Not practicing, nor should he. But the like that, to me, unless Justin Fields, and this is also good, but if I don't think Fields initiated that. I don't know, but I think that that's an Aaron Glenn thing. This is what Boomer and Phil were talking about, like, to, and more Boomer. And I think it's a very astute read, if it's accurate. Like, hey, all right, you're not practicing today, but get out there for your boys. You're the quarterback. Strap it on, gear up, jog out. It's not going to get worse. The doctor said you're fine. You know, go out there and show them that you are basically ready to start going. And I just love that because I can't prove this, but I just think that the other visual would have been Aaron Rodgers in a red jersey, in shorts, you know, in sneakers, off to the side, you know, just kind of flipping. And boy, he does throw a very nice ball, but he's just very softly spinning a ball, having a little catch, very benignly. I don't know. I mean, there's no true way to change the culture. Like, it's not like, all right, if you definitively do this, then the culture changes. Culture changes by hiring the right people, you know, and then those people holding the players accountable. And then eventually they're, you know, very quickly becoming obviously more obvious chemistry with the organization, the owner and the coaches and the GM, and it trickles down to the players. And then eventually guys you draft show that you draft the right guys, and then they get a second contract. And then here you go. Then you're the Patriots for most of the century, or the Giants for most of Tom Coughlin's run, or the Eagles right now, or the Chiefs right now, or the Steelers for most of the century as well, or really forever, the Steelers. You know what I mean? So I don't know the origin of it. I'm going to think that it's Aaron Glenn. And either way, it's a good little teeny tiny seed to plant in the soil, give it some water, And that's a little step forward in the culture department. I like it. All right, 888-808-1019. Let me get back to you guys here. Greg is in Orange, I believe Orange County. It just says Orange. Greg, what's going on?
Maybe hey, Orange, Brandon. Orangeburg? Thank you.
Hey.
I'm over in Orange, Connecticut.
Gotcha. Orange, Connecticut. Thank you. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. So I wanted to talk about Boone and Steinbrenner and Cashman. And I'm 29. I'm about to be 30. So I grew up kind of in the end of that, like, George Steinbrenner, evil empire kind of era. And, you know, and I've heard you been talking about this. When I see what's going on with the Yankees now, there's just a lack of accountability. Back in the day, there was that fear that if you messed up or didn't play up to your potential, you could be replaced. You know, mm-hmm. we would bring somebody in. So my question now with Hal and kind of the culture changing, it looks like, you know, the Yankees, they're never going to sell. The Steinbrenners are always going to be there. But the one guy that I think should be moved would be Aaron Boone. My question to you would be, what would it take for the Yankees to move on from Aaron Boone? And if they did move on from Aaron Boone, who would you like to see them replace Aaron Boone with?
I don't know who. I don't even have a name yet because I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, listen, guys, eventually there's an expiration point on everything. And if this season does not rectify itself very soon, then we're going to have the conversation about the Yankees moving on from Aaron Boone. That's just a conversation that's going to be had. And because it's going to be had with every team when something like this happens. They don't like volatility. That's a Hal thing. You know, Hal's very quiet, very detached, at least visibly, as a front man. I'm not saying he doesn't care. Of course he does. And of course, he cuts some pretty big checks there. But like that emotional investment is just, it's not apparent. So it would have to get, like they would have to just fizzle and implode for him to be fired. If they did fire him, I mean, you know, I would always say bring back Mattingly or, I don't know, I guess just give somebody with some Yankee blood in them. That's the one thing that came up the other day. And thanks for the call there, Greg. Like, I forget which caller it was, but one of the callers, and I never really processed it this way because I never really thought that I needed to. It's never struck me as incredibly important. But somebody said, like, hey, where's the Yankee blood on the bench? Where are the guys who won championships and wore pinstripes? Where are they? I don't see any. And that could be a problem. I would be inclined at this point to say it probably is more of a problem than not. Not that, you know, you can have a... I mean, listen, there were many lean years with the Yankees where you had former... Bucky Dent. Dolph, as I'm doing this, can you do me a favor? Look up Bucky Dent's managerial record with the Yankees. It was awful. That was like right around Dallas Green, Bucky... Stump right before Buck came in and fixed things, thank God. And obviously Stick Michael. I mean, Bucky Dent was, I mean, it's the pitch from Torres, deep to left. Yastrzemski will not get it. It's a home run. I mean, you can't have a more poignant Yankee moment than Bucky Dent going over the monster against the Red Sox, you know, in the extra game there to win it. So he was awful. So that Yankee blood didn't translate. The Yankees had no players. Do you have, what was his record?
36-53.
What was it? I'm sorry, you cut out for me.
36 wins, 53 losses. Two seasons, 89-90.
Yep.
He was 40-18. I'm sorry, 18-22 in 1989 when he took over.
Yep.
He was 18-31
yeah.
in 1990.
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't know the exact numbers. Thank you, though. But I just remember watching. I'm like, God, this team is awful. And, you know, Bucky was unable to change that. But I do believe, you know, there's got to be a little value here. Now, Lou Piniella managed Mattingly. Yogi was in the dugout, obviously got unceremoniously fired. I think it was like 8 or 12 games in. And that was the whole rift with George and him that Susan basically stepped in and softened and fixed, which was great before Yogi left us here. So Billy Martin, former Yankee, you know, crazy, but champion. You get a little bit of everything. Joe Torre's from here, so he gets it, but not a Yankee, a Met, as a player, and others, Cardinals. I don't know that it's paramount, but when it's not there, it's identifiable after a while. You know, so I would like to see that, even if it's insistent. You know, of course, yeah. See if Posada wants to be a coach.
Willie Randolph.
Willie Randolph, yeah. Willie Randolph, I love Willie. Bob in Lindenhurst on the fan. Bob, what's up?
What's up, BT?
Hey.
Listen, I'm a Mets fan since I'm 62, so since I knew baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that Mets fans are not rooting for the Yankees. Of course we are.
Hey, of course you are. You have to. It's no doubt.
It has to be like 98% of Mets fans are rooting for the Yankees. Let's go Yankees. And also, as an organizational thing, I fight with my nephew all the time. He works for Barstool. He's a big wig over there.
Mm-hmm.
He turns red when I argue with him. He's still, if I beat him in an argument, he's a Yankee bleeds diehard. Frankie, if you're listening, this is for you. He bleeds red. I mean, the stripes. And if I say anything that remotely beats him in an argument with the Yankees, he says, well, 27 rings. You can't use that anymore. You can't.
Well, but, okay, but hold on a sec, Bob. You never hear me say that. Now, some people use that.
Oh, I know.
No, I got it. It's okay. Some people weaponize the 27 rings. Now, here's the thing, though. Outside of getting Soto from the Yankees, what can you say to him?
I could say what I tell him all the time. I said the organization has changed. We now have the number one organization. All you do is complain about
Cashman. That's not proven
Cashman
yet. Now you don't have
owner.
The number one. You don't have the number
I
one
never
yet.
Hear anybody. Who praises your owner and your general manager anytime in the last years, 3 years, 4 years? You never do. We do. We love Cone, man. We're psyched. We might not like the team that's on the field once in a while, but we're psyched.
No, you should be. Now, Bob, all I'm saying is this. You want to be the.
I'm telling you that the organizations have changed. It's now a Met town.
Well, no, now you sound absolutely crazy. It's not a Mets
town.
No,
stop.
It's not a Mets town, Bob. A Mets town.
Why not?
Because you haven't won anything yet, Bob.
Listen, I always go back when he says 27 rings. I say, well, listen, the Mets have only been around since 62. So you're up 6-2. That's not so bad. So you're not dominating the Mets.
I don't even bring that up. Listen, to me, that's trivial, childish. Like,
I know,
I
you
just
don't.
Think that, I just
you
think
don't,
that that's
but they
stupid.
Do. But the majority of Yankee fans do, man. I'm out in the bars. I'm hanging out with friends. That's what they do.
Well,
maybe you
I mean,
don't.
All right,
different.
And what the Met fans are doing now is, this fixation craziness. Big brother, little brother. Everybody pulls something. I mean, I guess it is what it is, but I just don't care. I don't know what to tell you. I never got wrapped up in that. I've said it a million times, and maybe we have new listeners, so I'll say it very quickly. I don't hate the Mets. If you think I do, I honestly don't know what to tell you. I will say this. I know about the I know more about the Mets than a lot of Met fans in terms of history. I will stand by that. No doubt. But I went to Shea Stadium all the time because my dad was a Met fan, because he was a Dodger fan, and because it was easier to get to Shea from where I grew up in Brooklyn. So I don't hate the Mets. You know, the pettiness, the championships, the big brother, the Cohen, whatever, man. All I know is this. Right now, the Yankees stink, all right? And the Mets haven't won a World Series in 40 years. So, I don't know if anybody's really got a leg to stand on if you think about it. Now, I'm going to give you this. I think I'd be disingenuous not to grant you this. There's no doubt there has been a dramatic shift in how the Mets operate. There's no doubt about that. If a Yankee fan can't recognize that, I don't know what to tell you. They're an idiot. Were they stubborn or whatever? But I've always said, guys, this goes back to the whole Soto pursuit. And then when you got him, and I tip my cap. You got it. You beat him. Beat the Yankees. You took him. You didn't steal him. You took him. But what I always say is the crown's heavy. Crown's heavy. And when I mean the crown, I'm talking about that thing that you put on top of your head when you're crowned a champion. Not some other nonsensical juvenile baby stuff that I really couldn't care less about. Let me get Jimmy in Warren County. See if this works. Jimmy, what's up, Jim?
You see what's going on,
yo,
brother?
What up, man?
I agree with you with Spencer Jones. I know 24 could be a little young in baseball years.
A little young? It's a little old. Time. Pull him up.
I mean, that's any young in baseball years. Like, they play longer, but you never know. Take them up. That's it. It's time to bring them up.
I don't think 24 is young anymore. Listen, I mean, Volpe was a kid. Acuna was a kid. I mean, you know, Beatty and Vientos, they got their chance before they were 24. 24 is definitely not young in baseball. No way.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. I mean, like, they play longer. That's what I meant. You know? Gotcha. Like, they're waiting too long.
I gotcha. Well, because he played at Vanderbilt, so it's a little different than if you go from high school. But I gotcha. Hey, if he was hitting 280 with three home runs or, like, good numbers or five home, nobody's saying this. But, like, he has outgrown AAA. You've got to, and this is the issue with the Yankees. I'll do more of this coming up, King Topic of the Day. But, like, the Yankees, to me, they don't hold the players accountable when they don't do the things that they should do well, like the basic components of being a baseball player. And then, right now, they're not rewarding somebody who's doing something so impressive.
Absolutely.
It's like, what messaging are we doing here? What are we doing?
There's nothing else to see, you know?
I know.
I think you're talking about the Sopranos. You know what my scene is? When they're in the Pine Barrens. There's nothing better than that.
That's a good one. Service. Yeah, that's, of course.
Tony calls him. The guy's a commando.
Yeah, I know.
He got 16 checks in. He was with the Interior Ministry.
I know.
And Paulie looks at Chris. He goes, the guy got 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator.
I saw that recently again. No, that was... and then, like, they're in the car, and they're trying to eat ketchup, and they're... God almighty. I missed the Jimmy. Thanks for the call. I missed that show. I am now of the mindset. Oh, so I told you the other day I jumped into, it's been a while, and I don't think this is for everybody. You have to like golf. Stick with Owen Wilson. It's good. I just watched it, all 10 episodes, crammed them in. It's on Apple. Now, you know, I got into, obviously, the Ozarks and, you know, Morning Show and a million other shows, of course. But I just don't think that I could, I don't think I could ever get into a show. Huff, do you? Let me pull you in for a sec. Now, you watch a lot of these shows. Sal gets into a lot of these shows as well. You guys are watching a few things that I haven't jumped into yet because I've heard you talk about them off the air. A little bit on as well. But whatever your favorite show is, and I'm not, it's not Sopranos. So what is your favorite all-time show? Breaking Bad? What would it be?
No, mine would be Dexter. I love Dexter.
Dexter, solid call. That's number one, no doubt.
The other one is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but that's a different story.
Okay, we'll stick with Dexter. Okay, keep it moving. Do you think that you could ever find another show that makes you feel the way Dexter made you feel? Like, so into it? I don't think I can anymore with The Sopranos. You know?
I mean, I can find shows that definitely reel me in real quick. Like, Ozark was up there.
That was so good. I loved it.
Great show.
Loved it.
I kind of, I get tired of waiting around. Like right now, there's a show called From on MGM Plus, which nobody knows where the hell that is, what the hell that is.
No, I haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, but it's a unbelievable show. It's basically Lost meets, you know, some other like random horror movie. Like I don't want to say zombies, but whatever.
All right.
Either way, great show. It definitely has me going, and I'm locked in on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough though because not everything has that anticipation. You know what I mean?
Like, I do know what you mean.
It's a lot of it's like, okay, that's the payoff. Well, what are we doing here? I've seen that 1,000 times.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, I'll tell you what came a little close, is The Penguin. Because it was every week. It wasn't, hey, here's 9 episodes. Go watch whatever you want. Binge. Like, you had to wait.
Yeah, the way.
Like,
yeah,
the old school way. I don't know. Like, I look back at some of the early shows, like The Wire. I love that. Oz. I loved Oz. Obviously Entourage, but that was easy. I even love Boulders with The Rock, but I don't know. I don't.
It's weird. So there's two ways you can look at it. I look at these TV series as if they're streamed instantly and you can watch them back to back to back to back to back, the filler episodes, they don't hurt as much. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, fine, whatever. Like, that was a bad episode, but I'm on to the next one already. Yeah. Whereas when I watched Lost, there was a lot of filler episodes that it legitimately took me out of the series. I'm like, I'm
that
done
makes
with
sense.
This.
You know, that makes sense, because you wait all week. I mean, I was really into 24.
Great.
Did you get
loved
into
it.
That?
Loved 24.
That was a good one. That's kind of, nobody really brings it up. That was awesome back in the mid-2000s. Maybe even, that's about 2000, mid-2000s. And they very, very rarely had like an empty episode. But if you got the one, you're like, I got to wait a week. It's a different energy.